Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 102 for Thursday, July 12th, 2012. Oh my god, that's a whole lot of ones and twos. So binary is 1 and 0. What is 1 and 2? Nothing?
3.
I'm Phil Nickinson, your host of this podcast, which will not be about binary numbers. We talk about Android and Android-related frivolity. And we do it most Thursdays. We do it most of the time on Thursday night. We're doing it Thursday afternoon this week to be nice to our European neighbors because we love them. And also so I can babysit my kids tonight while my wife is out. She's watching a movie or something about, I don't even know what it is. Something, it's like Magic Mark or something. She says it's about like four guys starting a business. I don't know. So I'm going to babysit my kids and she gets to go out and do cool stuff with moms. So why are you guys laughing?
Because we know the whole story.
Yep.
What?
Yep. She's going to ask for the ATM card so she can get $100 worth of singles.
What the hell are you talking about?
Nothing, Phil. Just go on.
Okay. Anyway, she's going to the movies. So we're going to podcast this afternoon, and that's what we're doing. The sun's still up, and Alex is awake. It's not like 2 in the morning in the UK.
So. Yep, you're almost in danger of catching me in sunlight.
No, I've seen you in sunlight. I've seen you as a lobster. I can't remember. Did it show up last week or the week before? Alex was... I left him alone in San Francisco for like 24 hours. And I get there, and dude looks like a lobster. It was horrible. And it's not like San Francisco's Florida or something. I mean, it's cold and kind of dreary there a lot of the time. But dude, like, found the one patch of sun.
Yeah, a country that gets the sun about 4 days a year, though. You got to realize this.
Oh,
doesn't look
man.
Worn off yet either.
Part of that is just crappy white balance, but yeah.
So let's dive into this. So that's Jerry, Corey from the forums. You know us all by now. If you don't, you'll catch on quick. Let's jump into this. There's a whole lot of stuff going on, and it's a lot of it's happened in the past 24 hours. We're going to talk a buttload about Jelly Bean, Android 4.1, because we have to. On Monday, was it Monday, Jerry? It was released in the Android open source project. That is, when we talk about Android releasing code and Google releasing code, that's where they put it. They go and dump it into the Android open source project, which is a cool little building, and you have to have a path. No, it's a repository of code. So, Jerry, what does that mean? What happens next?
They put it up there, and they have full instructions how anybody can access it, download it, and build it themselves. You know, that includes hobbyists and big guys like HTC or Motorola. I get a feeling that the big guys have another way they can get the source code as well, and I hope so. They shouldn't have to be like the rest of us. I was jamming F5 all freaking night long, trying to, you know, to get everything to upgrade, waiting for word we could sync. But that you sync it down to your local machine, and then there you have the source code for Android to do anything you want with it.
Can I do it? Is it that easy?
It's that easy. If you can copy and paste, you can build Android.
I should really try sometime, because I know you did it. Jerry did an early build for us, and Alex and I flashed it Tuesday morning. Or I flashed it Tuesday morning, because Alex is a big weenie and didn't want to mess up his phone or something. You don't want to break my phone. I said, what? It's fine. It's a Nexus. Flash it back. And that's the other important thing, is we have the stock files. We have the stock image files. So we can, I mean, rolling back takes 5 minutes. In fact, I did it exactly right that way the other day. And the only thing I didn't do, I didn't use that script to flash everything at once. So instead of like one, you know, command, I had to do three. Oh no. So, I mean, it really is that simple. Jerry did a post on it a couple weeks ago, actually. Need to put that somewhere else to, make sure everybody sees it. But it really is that easy to run a Nexus back to stock. I wish every phone had this. I really do. Or at least like the old RUUs. Talk about RUUs leaking. It used to be that was how you updated like Windows mobile phones, right? HTC would put out the RUU, and then it would flash the entire thing. Really handy.
But those are Windows only.
Yeah, well.
I love the way Nexus's phone.
Yes.
Nexus is.
That's true, too. That's true.
It's actually easier, though.
Yeah, and it was so much easier just to plug in, click a couple buttons, but I don't know. Well, yeah, God, Jerry, I was going off on Jerry last night because there are all these, and I haven't used them because I don't need to, but all these toolkits for Nexuses. It's like, really? You need a toolkit to unlock your phone and to flash a rooted image? And, I mean, it's fine. I get that it's easy. It's nice that somebody took the time to put all that together. But if you're going to root a Nexus and play around with it, you should really just take 10 minutes and learn the commands. That's what I think.
Yeah. Agreed.
I don't mean to get on a soapbox this early into the podcast, but I'm excited. Well, to be back on
a lot
Nexus.
Of problems too.
Well, yeah.
A lot of the time, these sort of toolkit things are really useful for devices that need to be sort of cracked to root. And you know, you get all the commands there, and it's really easy. But for a Nexus, yeah, just you know, it's three commands. It's easy enough.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. You know, take the time to learn, because once you appreciate what's going on a little bit more, it makes sense. So if you're new to Nexus, if you're getting a Nexus for the first time, take the time, learn to understand what the commands do and you know, why you use fastboot when you boot into the bootloader and you know, stuff like that versus ADB, right? It makes sense. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Those three commands fit in a tweet?
What's that?
Will those three commands fit in a tweet?
Maybe. If,
almost. Yes.
Yeah, I bet they would, yeah. Actually.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell you how to do it over Twitter. No, I'm just excited to be back on a Nexus still. And I wrote that love letter. When did I write that? Was that last week or the week
it's
before?
It's good. I don't remember. Yeah, you know, I'm still kind of bouncing back and forth between the S3 and the Nexus, yep. But it's The weird thing is there's really no difference in speed between the two. When you consider that the S3 is just so far ahead in hardware, that is just really impressive from Jelly Bean.
Let's talk about Jelly Bean. So we've got Android 4.1.1 already. 4.1 technically is Jelly Bean. We knew there was going to be a point release pretty quickly, right? But Jerry, yeah. The thing we're all expecting to be changed isn't actually changed in the 4.1.1 code, right?
Nope. The search still searches your device, which, you know, that's not Apple certified. I don't know what's going on there. You know, one judge says you can't sell them. Another judge says you can. But in the end...
Let's back up a little bit. Hang on. So, almost 2 weeks ago now, the Nexus... Or no, more than that, 3 weeks ago, the Nexus was banned. And I keep saying that in quotes, because they say it's banned. I mean, it's not like they're going to come and take it out of our pockets, right? It just means there's a preliminary injunction. A judge says, hey, they're infringing on this patent. And because there's no way to figure out how much money you should owe Apple, we're just going to say you can't sell them until you change it. That's what that is. And then,
which is...
What?
I was going to swear, but I won't.
Oh. So then appellate court came back and said, no, hang on. You guys can keep selling them while we're waiting for Apple to respond to something or other, blah, 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 blah. In the meantime, Google said, hey, we got a fix for it. No big deal. And they're going to start shipping it again this week. So when I last checked this morning, the Play Store was saying 3 to 5 days shipping, which effectively means it's shipping again, right? So that's where
I ordered another one this morning.
Did you?
Yeah, for my daughter.
Oh.
I hope she's not listening. It was a surprise.
So that's where we stand.
The way
now.
You get to it doesn't play into it, obviously, because I mean you have to get to it through the search bar that's on your home screen, and so that makes it unique in some way. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's all pretty convoluted, but the problem was we believed that it was searching things on your device at the same time it's searching the internet and all this other stuff that, by the way, Palm did years ago. Just saying, but. That's actually neither here nor there. The problem is the patent was granted, and that's what it all goes back to.
Right.
So we're expecting something to change, and we're already seeing Samsung stripping out search, local search. When we say local search, that's what we mean, actually on-device search. And Samsung's already taken out of the S3 on a Sprint and AT&T.
Yeah, that bums me out. The S3 wasn't named in any type of lawsuit.
Well, they tried to block it, didn't they, before they went up? Well... After they went after the Nexus,
couldn't.
And they were denied, and they couldn't. But obviously, that's where they're going next. And I think Samsung's made the right decision for their business to move that before Apple gets a... No, they have, because what hurts their business more, having this feature removed that most mainstream consumers are never going to notice, or getting a situation maybe in a month's time where Apple gets a bar on all four of these devices on every carrier. That hurts their business more, so they've taken preemptive action, and they're going to... hopefully avoid losing any money because of it.
He's right.
But
it's a good point.
But it shows that they have no faith that Google's going to get this patent overturned.
Well, they're covering their back, aren't they? You never know which way these things are going to go. And
I think it's oftentimes
it defies common sense. So
stand up for your users. Keep your search. Don't install your OTA.
They're standing up for their shareholders, not their users. And that's their job as a business.
Right.
And was it just AT&T that called it a security update?
It was Sprint that said it was a security update to scare people into downloading it.
Yeah. They need to be upfront and be like, look, we got to change something. Sorry. Don't dick around when it comes to update change logs. That is not cool at all.
Yep.
It's not their fault. At least they did their part, right? And then people can make a decision on whether it's removed or not.
We're going to hack this back in, right? There's a voicemail on this.
It's show. Already back in.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
So,
there's probably other alternatives in the market that do the same thing, yeah?
I'm sure somebody could write an app that searches your phone and Google.
I don't want alternatives.
Just use the old one before your update.
I want stock. I agree with Phil.
I just want it to work.
And when they take it off the Nexus, you just flash a different system image and it'll be fine.
Damn right.
It's funny how this is all just kind of for nothing at the end of the day. Oh, man. So where are we at? So the Galaxy Nexus has 4.1.1. That is pushed officially. The Nexus 7 has 4.1.1. That's going to be it for a little while. It's still going to take some time for the manufacturers to get all this stuff ramped up. Jerry, we made you, put you on the hot seat again and made you go through what we think is going to get updated. So should we run through that list real quick?
Yeah, because it's a short list. I mean, what do I think is definitely going to get updated? The HTC One X, and that also means the One XL. And the Evo 4G LTE, Sprint LTE HD thing.
What about the S?
Yes, that was next on my list. And maybe the V. Wouldn't that be cool? It's probably not going to take very much more work to update the V because they have to update Sense 4 into Jelly Bean. So maybe. It depends on how much time the engineers have. I know engineers, software guys, they're nerds. They know how cool it would be to update the 1V to Jelly Bean. And if they can do it, they will. Maybe the Resound, maybe the Vivid. And I'm sorry to say this, I don't see any other HTC phones, including the 3D, ever getting Jelly Bean.
Yeah.
And read my post. The first 600 words of my post, I don't ignore them. To me, I've done this, not for smartphones, but I've worked on software on little embedded devices, and it's not that people only care about money, but it's a mix of money, time, and ability. And HTC just is not going to have the resources to worry about updating the 3D, and that's sad. It would be perfectly fine. It would run it just well. But
I'm a little bit more optimistic, I think. I think if you've got device, I mean, they're updating the Thunderbolt and the Desire HD to Ice Cream Sandwich. I think if they've already got a device like, well, apparently, but if you've already got something like the Sensation, which is okay, flagship product, year old at this point, but if you've already got that running ICS, that is a smaller jump to get that to Jelly Bean.
Right. I mean, I would love to be wrong.
I think the 3D will.
Make a good point about it not just being money, about it being time and effort from engineers as well.
3D is a pretty big phone, Jerry. I think we forget that it's fairly big in Europe.
The 3D?
I don't know, Phil. It's.
I don't think it is. It was ridiculously expensive until quite recently.
Hmm. We will have to wait and see. This was just my guess with a little bit of flavor from what I used to do in the real world. You jump to Samsung, the S3s are definitely going to get it. But you know what? You're not going to see an OTA next month, guys. You better be prepared to wait it out and go through a bunch of leaks, which is fun for some people. But it's going to take a while. Samsung wants all of their custom touches to work as well on Jelly Bean as they do on Gingerbread.
Yeah, I know. And if you use an S3, there is a lot of custom Samsung stuff in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of people disagree with me, But I really think they're going to try to get the note, the original note, up to Jelly Bean.
You think
just
so?
Because they will. They love that phone.
Yeah, I bet they will.
And if they can, that means that the S2 will get updated as well.
Hey, go back to HTC real quick. You kind of wonder, HTC's really getting in bed well with Windows Phone. And I think we're going to see a lot more once Apollo comes out, once the next version comes out later this year. Do you think maybe that has kind of sucked away from the available engineers?
Sure. Either they hired a bunch more, or now you've got the same guys doing twice as much work.
I mean, I guess it's either it affects it or it doesn't, I guess. We don't really know which.
Yep.
The other side of that is that, okay, it took ages for most phones to get from Gingerbread to ICS, but the jump from ICS to Jelly Bean is much shorter, just in terms of code and in terms of numbers, right?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Look at
there's
go ahead.
The big changes in Ice Cream Sandwich are under the hood back in the framework, and that's where these OEMs hook with their custom software.
Right.
So to get their stuff to work, they're going to have to touch just as many files and make just as many edits as they did to get it from Gingerbread to Ice Cream Sandwich. It's a fun job, but it's not a fun job, too. I mean, I feel for those guys.
Yeah. You reckon the PDK is going to have any impact on this or not?
Steve Kondik did a post today on Google Plus saying from what he's seen, and you know, he understands all this stuff, and I have no clue. But you know, he thinks that maybe it is, yeah.
I hope so.
Because, I mean, he's in a better position than us to know what's in a PDK.
For a number of reasons, yeah.
Doing what he does now, yes.
I mean, I hope it is. I think Google really meant for it to.
But it's a two-way thing, isn't it? It takes effort from the manufacturer as well as Google.
I mean, if Samsung steps up and says, okay, Google is providing this for us, making it even easier on us, let's increase the budget or hire a couple dedicated people, or we're going to start a new group that's just focused on updates. You know, if the OEMs do their part, then yes, it can make a big difference. I'm skeptical and I don't think they're going to.
And again, I mean, none of this is new. This goes back to the old Winmo days, you know, time and money it takes to do updates. It's the way of the world. It's just the way it works. Not everybody's going to get one.
Do you have to get all the features of Jelly? Because there isn't a lot of features in Jelly Bean over ICS, so it's mostly a performance improvement. So do you really think that they have to do a lot of incorporation into HTC Sense and some of these other pieces to do it?
It's not a small deal.
Yeah.
It's more behind the scenes than we realize.
Especially when you realize what they were doing with Project Buster, and that's related to a lot of deep sort of down hardware level stuff and device specific stuff, getting changes that make specific devices lag or stutter. And that's going to be work that isn't just going to be ported across. That's going to be stuff that manufacturers are going to have to use Google's utility and you know, do some of their own work in eliminating, you know, lag and getting their own devices up to that level of performance.
Because I could see it as being a way to get, you know, current customers to be more loyal to Android because their phones are working better now. You know, a lot of them are kind of laggy, and you know, you still have some of those old issues.
Here's an interesting thought. So the code has dropped now for various devices. Do you think because the Nexus 7 is Tegra 3 that Tegra 3 devices might be at a bit of an advantage over other platforms in getting Jelly Bean updates out?
I don't know. I mean, that's like saying Qualcomm devices had a leg up because there were so many of them before, or that TI devices did because of the Nexus.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope that the people that make devices that have a Tegra 3 inside have a close enough relationship with NVIDIA that they didn't have to wait on Google to release any special code. I mean, but you never know. I mean, I don't know all the secrets and handshakes that go on. I was never in that side. I was a monkey who sat at a desk and typed code, code, code. You can go home when you're done. But I do want to go back to the update thing because I don't want to skip Motorola. A lot of people are Motorola fans.
Yes.
And I want to go on record saying that I am sure that the Razor is going to get ice cream sandwich or going to get jelly bean. And I am also pretty damn sure the Bionic's not. I think that the Razor, especially now, I've got the Atrix HD here. We got a post in the forums and stuff. Motorola has shifted everything. The Razor Forward is a new, you know, a new design and a new way of thinking for Motorola. And before the Razor, I just don't see them spending any time or money on it. But I want to put that out there because if it does happen, I want to be happy with everybody else. The Bionic deserves to have Jelly Bean.
And the Razor also sold a hell of a lot more units around the world than the Bionic. The Bionic wasn't even released outside the US, I don't think.
I don't think so.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's I just wanted to talk about Motorola for a minute because a lot of times when I say something, the opposite will happen. That's just how my luck.
LG?
You know what? I guarantee there's some people working their collective asses off to try to update their phones.
Yeah, all the guys in the forums.
Isn't there yet? You know, LG makes some beautiful hardware. They make beautiful screens, but they do not have the knack for updating Android yet. Maybe they'll get there. I want them to get there.
What about tablets?
All your Tegra 3 tablets are going to get updated. There's no reason for it not to. Most of them are almost stock anyway with just a few OEM things thrown on top.
I think we know the Zoom's getting it, don't we?
Yeah.
That kind of bodes pretty well for, well, again, maybe it doesn't, I don't know, for other Tegra 2 tablets, possibly, depending on how well they're sold.
Yeah, I mean, maybe... I don't see Asus spending time and money to worry about the original Transformer when they
of the original Galaxy Tab, maybe the 10.1.
No, you know, Samsung and I read what I wrote and I thought, wow, this is harsh, and I almost changed it, but it's true. Samsung is going to make 11 or 12 new tablets this year. The ones at the end of the year are going to come with Jelly Bean, and the rest of them they'll never stay. That's how Samsung goes.
Yep.
Their tablets.
To be fair to Samsung, they're releasing that. It's taken them a while, but they're just getting around to releasing ICS for their entire Galaxy Tab range now. So they're taking the time, but they're getting there. But again, are they going to want to take that extra step and get it up to Jelly Bean? Not so sure about that.
Right. I mean, I don't see it. I hope I'm wrong. I don't see it because if they're working on getting Jelly Bean on the 10.1 tab, that means somebody's not working on the 10.1 tab 3 that they're working on now, I'm sure.
Maybe. I'm not sure. I think Samsung might have learned from just putting out all these tablets all at once because they haven't – it's not like phones. They haven't been met with ridiculous sales. It's that they've really struggled to get people to buy these things. So I think they might just hold back and maybe re-examine what they're doing with tablets, and hopefully, if they do that, that might. I'm imagining Samsung's having too much sense here, but
I can't help but think they released the Tab 7 Plus, and then when Ice Cream Sandwich came out, instead of updating it, they just released the Tab 7 2 with Ice Cream Sandwich.
Well, they're updating the Tab 7 Plus, but again, that's 4 months down the line from the Tab 7 2, isn't it?
Right. So, I mean, I just don't trust Samsung when it comes to products that don't sell multi-millions.
Yeah, I mean, the flagships, sure, are going to get updated, but your Tab 7 Plus, your Tab 8.9, I wouldn't hold your breath.
And again, this is all unofficial. This is just what we think.
Well, and it's historical, too. With Samsung especially, they have a track record of not keeping up with updates. They just came out with ICS for the Epic today, right?
Yep.
Or a couple days ago.
Yep.
Today.
It takes them forever.
What month are we in? 7? So it's taken about 8 months to update.
But we don't know what was in the Honeycomb source. We don't know how much of a a jump that was from Honeycomb to ICS. And given how hacky that people seem to think the Honeycomb source was, then that might have been just a massive job to get any Honeycomb stuff updated to ICS.
And to be fair, if Ice Cream Sandwich on the Epic 4G Touch is mostly bug-free and a joy to use, it was worth waiting the 8 months.
Yeah. Sure.
If it comes out and within 24 hours everybody's screaming about bugs and it needs an update and we see a bug fix next week, you know, that's ridiculous to have to wait 8 months for that.
Jerry, something else, and the rest of you as well. We do need to talk about Verizon and Sprint a little more. And I think we've got some more questions later that we can go ahead and answer now. So Verizon is actually back in the AOSP fold. You can download source code from Verizon. And do what with it, Jerry? Do I have a totally workable phone? Can I make phone calls on it?
Yes. You can build an AOSP for your Verizon Galaxy Nexus, and all the closed source stuff is there to build it. It's back.
That's a big deal.
Yes, it is. A very big deal. One that makes me really, really happy.
You think money changed hands? You think that's what it took?
I hope not.
I mean,
but I think it did.
I'm cynical. But I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah, you got to hope it wasn't a bribe, which essentially is what that would be. Is you're bribing somebody to, commit to open source? But
no, or you're paying for license usage, basically, because all this stuff is they're proprietary licensed technology, in LTE and CDMA.
But I think they were paying for that already. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
That, like I said, that's a side of this business that I really don't know a lot about. But I do know you can download all the driver blobs and kernel modules and go. And that's great.
What about the Sprint version?
Negative. Nothing up there for it. And that's puzzling. I don't know how much different the Sprint version is from the Verizon. I understand the radio code is going to be a little bit different, but why do they have license to, give the drivers for the sensors on the Verizon version, but not the Sprint version? I don't have an answer for that.
A lot of people,
again, that would maybe back up money changing hands. Possibly, we don't know.
A lot of people have been asking if that means that the Sprint Galaxy Nexus won't get Jelly Bean.
No, that doesn't mean
look, let's just say it loud and clear right now. The Sprint Galaxy Nexus will absolutely get Jelly Bean. Guarantee you.
Right. AOSP support has nothing to do with updates from Google with the Nexus name on the back. I've been trying to preach that for about a year now.
Right.
AOSP is something completely different. If, the Zoom was not a Nexus device, but it is an AOSP device. The Sprint Galaxy Nexus is a Nexus device, but it's not an AOSP device. They're not one and the same.
Yep. I mean, that's no other way to put it. It will get Jelly Bean. Don't worry about that. You won't get it quite as quickly. Probably. Maybe.
Sprint and Verizon already have the 4.1.1 update, and they're testing the daylights out of it.
Right.
If they see something they don't like, it'll go back to Google.
That's the way it works. Anything else on Jelly Bean you guys want to talk about? I'm still very much loving it. We're slowly posting, feature piece on it because, frankly, I enjoy using it, and I'm glad we're taking our time with them and not just rewriting what Google's done. This is all really good stuff, and it's worth taking a look at. My only thing right now, see if I can show it on video here, is I wish Google Now would launch just a little bit quicker. Can I do it without looking at it? That wasn't horrible, but I would like it to be a little faster. Now, it's not slow. It's well under 2 seconds, but that's the sort of thing, if I'm going to use it a lot, it has to be just almost instantaneous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I realize.
And it is quite a bit faster on the 7, isn't it? The 7 does it noticeably quicker than the GeneX.
Do that again, Phil.
Snap.
No, open Google Now on camera.
All right, so here we are from the lock screen. Okay. That's not bad. But I just wanted to.
From the lock screen, it was better.
Yeah.
It's about the same.
It's real.
I'm running an AOSP build on mine, and at first I thought it was a little faster, but it's about the same.
The last time you just did it was instant. Does it close the app? Like, does it actually launch it?
No, it's the usual Android memory management stuff. Yeah. So if you open it once and then lock the phone, it's going to have it lingering in background in memory.
Sure.
It's there unless they need the space for it.
Because that's almost like it. The way it behaved is like it was restarting it or something. I love it. It works so good. It's hard to, the Galaxy S3 now, and I have that, and it's really tough to go back to the ice cream sandwich as well. I think TouchWiz plays a big part of that as well.
Yes. Well, that's actually a really good segue, because Galaxy S3, it's out on Verizon now. You can go buy a Verizon one in stores today, finally. However, there's going to be a developer version, an unlockable developer version. So all the other Galaxy S3s you can unlock, but not Verizon's, right? Encrypted bootloader, Samsung blame Verizon, I think. Verizon blame Samsung, whoever. I don't care. You can't unlock it. That sucks. So there's a developer version. $600, is it, I think? Is it $500 or $600? You'll buy
it. I think it's
$599.
Yeah. You'll buy it from directly from Samsung, but it'll work on Verizon. And you can unlock the bootloader. That's important because, as I might have mentioned, I'm not a huge fan of TouchWiz anymore. I'm just over it for whatever reason. And so I will probably be running CM9 on it, or CM10, I guess, now. That's a big deal. To be able to easily unlock and flash is the way it should be.
So my thing with this is, are you going to get enough people that want to pay the $600 to have a vibrant enough developer community around this device?
Exactly.
Yep.
Probably not.
Doesn't that kill it stone dead before it's even started?
But shame on them, people.
And do you have to have a developer device to use what developers put out?
Probably not, but you got the whole hassle of having to unlock your phone before you can.
Which, how do you do that if you don't have the developer phone?
Well,
they've already got it mostly unlocked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it isn't going to be easy.
I mean, it invalidates your warranty anyway if you buy the developer version and unlock it. So why would you not just take your chances with the subsidized one and have no warranty anyway?
Because then they won't make a developer edition next time if nobody buys it. That's something nobody's considering.
Corey made a good point last week saying it was like locking a door with tape. But if people can crack these things quick enough anyway, is it worth having a developer edition?
But it's a lot of money. I mean, you're looking at $600, tax $660.
That is almost two Galaxy Nexuses.
Yeah, I just don't see it.
I'm going to get one because we need to have a Verizon GS3 here, but I think I'm still sold on the Galaxy Nexus scheme. I'm really sold on the soft buttons because of what that does to the menu scheme. It puts menu buttons back where they're supposed to be. I'm just not a fan of the home button anymore on the GS3 and what's been.
Oh my god, it's so hard to eat. I feel so disoriented with the buttons. Ugh. It's so different.
But I mean, we're still going to have one because we need to have one here, but. I'm back on the Nexus for now. Man, I mean, is anybody... So Motorola's got soft buttons. Jerry, you've got the Atrix HD there. How are you liking it so far after 20 minutes?
You know what? I'm impressed.
Yeah?
It's nice and thin like the Razer. It's really well built. That's the first thing you think of when... I haven't used the Motorola phone in a while. So when you grab one, you remember just how damn nice their phones are, the way they build them. And, fast, really fast.
That's why I sent it to you.
Yep. I don't know that I'm digging this weird two-tone color, but at least it's something different. I like difference. And I think I'm going to get along fine with the way they've changed blur to work an ice cream sandwich, believe it or not. Hmm. So we'll have to see. I mean, the 20 minutes with it, unless I see something later, I could live with this phone.
Well, maybe I'll get one of those instead of an AT&T one. Or a GS3.
Jerry, you've got the 1X and the Optimus 4X there, don't you? How does the screen and the new Atrix compare to that?
the screen on the new Atrix is good. It's not that good. I look at it and I say, oh, there's absolutely nothing wrong with this screen. But I look at it and I don't say, oh my God, that screen's incredible. Mm. You've seen them both. You know what I mean. When you look at the 1X or, you know, maybe to a lesser extent, the 4X HD, you say, holy Christ, that's a damn nice screen. You don't do that with this, but you can't find anything wrong with it. So, I mean, it's miles above what you see on the Razer. Not just because of the resolution, but because of the clarity and you know, I'll try to see if we can't translate that into images for other people to see, maybe get some macro shots and whatnot, but don't worry about the screen. The screen is nice.
Cool.
For you, everybody watching the video, I apologize for coughing through most of this podcast, but I do have a nice little mute button, so I'll save everybody that. I'm still getting over the cold from last week.
I hope we don't see an Atrix HD Max in a month with a bigger battery or something stupid like that.
You would like to think they learned that lesson.
Here's why that won't happen. AT&T doesn't have the balls to do that. Samsung has them and will just say, you know what, screw it, we're putting out this other one. And in fact, I think they bought too many of the original Razer. They had to keep selling it, right? But no, I do not see AT&T doing that. If I'm wrong, that's just even more awesome, though.
I know in the chat room, Kevin O'Quinn said that the AT&T logo on this looks like it should be a trackball.
Hold it up here to the camera. In the right places.
That would be so sweet. I would use this phone if that was the case over any other phone if it had a little trackball right
there.
Oh,
you're still missing the trackball, aren't you?
Yeah. I want a Palm Pre, but built better, that runs Android. I like physical things.
So let's burn through some of this other news. There's a white Evo 4G LTE. We knew it was coming, so it's going to be available next week, the 15th.
Actually, looks pretty nice.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
The Garnet Red.
Does it have a red kickstand?
No, I think
it's silver. Yes, I think
silver kickstand.
Not in the picture, it didn't.
There is a red AT&T Galaxy S3. We knew it was coming when they announced it. They said, hey, you're going to get a red one later. It will be pre-ordered July 15th in stores the 29th. Same price. Epic 4G Touch. Get ice cream sandwich today. Hooray. Amazing Alex is out, so I've been playing that a little bit today. That's from Rovio, the guys who did Angry Birds. It's okay. That's kind of been everybody's response. I've seen a couple reviews today, including ours. Like, yeah, it's fun, it's nice, but it's not Angry Birds. And I think it's a little too difficult in places, and just, you know, it's just, okay, it's another game. I mean, it's only $1, so whatever. But you guys play it yet?
No, I haven't. Nope. I haven't.
Well, fine then. We won't talk about it.
Well, I will. It's only, like you said, it's only $1. I'll lose $1 out of my pockets when I fall asleep in my chair this afternoon.
Okay, so here's something that's not $1. In fact, it's $100. The Kickstarter campaign for this, I don't even know how to say it. Ouya, maybe? O-U-Y-A. It's this Android-based gaming console that doesn't actually exist on Kickstarter. It exists on Kickstarter. You just can't actually buy one because they don't quite know what it's going to be yet. Everybody's hot and bothered about this. I don't know. Let me check and see how much money it's raised since it launched. I think 3-4 million, maybe 5 now, since we last saw. What do you guys think? Yeah. You know, the backlash has started, right? The story has been how much money it's raised, because that's exciting and sexy. $4.1 million right now. And they were trying to get a little less than $1 million. And so they've, you know, quadrupled that. And there's still a month to go on this campaign. It's a lot of money for something that doesn't exist. And for something that's not planning on existing until sometime in 2013. And that's a hell of a long time from now when it comes to tech.
Well, you know, Phil, you might want to cover your ears, because I'm Kevin Krause over at Fandroid, who is a hell of a nice guy.
Yep.
He wrote exactly what I think about this little thing, but I just don't have the balls to say that, because I know you all rip shreds. It's a gimmick. It's a joke. No developers are going to support it. You'll buy it for $99. You better like what it does out of the box because you're done.
And Kevin's not the only one to say it. Sasha Sagan wrote a really good piece today, looking at some successful Kickstarter campaigns when it comes to technology products and a bunch that weren't. I gave him a couple that I used, and one I'll talk about is Julie's, which are these little they look like cool stainless steel coffee
mugs
you put in your coffee that look really cool, didn't work all that well. As far as the Kickstarter campaign went, it went fine. I mean, I paid $20 or whatever, $50, and I got my beans, and that's fine. I was going to write something maybe for my column this weekend about how we look at these things and we get to play venture capitalist for a minute, even though we're not. And this isn't a VC kind of endeavor. I mean, venture capital firm pays really smart people to kind of look into the future, right? And then they bet on these companies maybe making money one day. And, you get into the ground floor and make a buttload of money in the process. But it's different here. I mean, this is, you're not quite getting a product. You're paying for the hope of a product. And so it's this weird in-between space. And to be honest, I think I put it out on Twitter. I paid my $99. What the hell? It's $100. I waste money all the time, and I wish I didn't, but I do. So if something cool comes out of this, fine. If it doesn't, it's $100. It's not the end of the world. And today I canceled it. It's the first Kickstarter campaign I've ever canceled my pledge on, and it's not something I intend to make a habit of doing. But I think I got caught up in it too. It's easy to happen.
And my way of thinking is, even if everything through the Kickstarter goes as planned and everybody that pledged gets one, it's delivered to their house, the half of a percent of people that hack their phones, you're going to love it.
You're right.
Everybody else, I just don't think you're getting what you think you're getting here. Without somebody like Google, or to a less extent, NVIDIA, somebody to get developers to make games that work well with the controller, that translate well to the 40-inch screen. That's we don't have that. And I don't think that this thing is going to make developers want to do it.
Right.
There is a long, long history, a long, long sort of record in the history of gaming of good hardware failing miserably because of lack of developer support.
Yep. But so that's only
small part of the gone.
I was going to say, if you're an Android hacker, and this thing is open like they say it is, well, this is your Android web TV. Plug it in and go. You're going to have a ball with it.
I don't know. I'm hoping I'm not getting caught in the backlash wave, right? I'm leaving one bandwagon for another. Entirely possible. And I freely admit it.
Hey, maybe we're all wrong. Maybe it'll sell, everybody will love it, and Android will take a new direction, and I'll happily be playing my Wii or whatever it's called and say, oh, I was wrong as hell last year when I said this would never take off. That would make me happy.
Join our wild ride for $10. Yeah, we'll see. Majority of these have been the $100 thing, 27, almost 28,000 of them. That's a lot of money right there. And see, has anybody done the 5 people have pledged $10,000 or more? 3 have done 5,000. 200 people have done 1,337. So it's a lot of money and not a whole lot of product. Anything else we want to talk about, or we'll just go to emails and voicemails?
You guys reckon we'll get another version of Android this year? Because I kind of put an editorial earlier this week, and I was curious what you guys think.
I don't think we need it, but if they release new hardware this year and not just wait to the first quarter of next year, I really do think they'll release whatever they have new source code-wise with it.
Right.
I'm thinking 4.2 Jelly Bean. Increase the number, not the code name. Like an 2.0 to 2.1 sort of thing, maybe.
Maybe they did that with Honeycomb. I mean, it wouldn't be unprecedented. Eclair and Honeycomb both did that, so maybe.
I just think if you look at what we've got now, okay, Honeycomb. Where are we on? Jelly Bean has just been open source now. If something's going to come out, say, November, you're looking at the code being ready early October. That is not an awful lot of time.
Right.
So at best, it's going to be a 4.2, and it's going to still probably be Jelly Bean,
yeah.
I would think.
It's not going to be a lot of big, huge changes because, no. Well, unless they've already have them and held back.
God knows when we'd be talking about all these manufacturers. Are they going to get it? Are they going
to get it? Well, sure. it's what we do every time.
When?
Yeah,
we do.
I don't think they need to make the changes. I think if they polish what they have, it stands on its own.
I need to refresh that piece I did last year, kind of yelling at, what's her name, Molly Wood, when I really asked the question, what kind of user are you? If you're the kind of user who has to have every damn point release and every last update ever pushed out, go get a Nexus. Better yet, go get a Nexus and learn to compile source code.
Yep. Then you don't have to wait 24 hours for an OTA.
Yeah, put your money where your mouth is, or put your mind where your mouth is, I guess. Or are you, or is it good enough? I'm kind of in a weird in-between state right now where I'm preferring the Nexus, but I'm not rooted or anything. I'm still running it stock because I just don't need rooted apps. The 1X I can totally use since I'm perfectly happy with using stock. TouchWiz, I'm down on TouchWiz right now, and maybe a little more than I should be, but just the design is old for me. The colors are old, the fonts are old, the size of the fonts are old, and just lacks sophistication next to the hardware. I think the hardware is great. They're doing a really good job with the hardware, even though I don't particularly like the home button. But that's a design decision, and I get it. So it's, what kind of, and that's a question I want people to ask themselves. What kind of user are you? What kind of user do you want to be? Look, I used to hack the hell out of everything and enjoyed it. I don't have time for it anymore. So that's why, I'm perfectly happy using what I'm using, and Nexus is fitting that nicely for me. I need a nice, attractive platform to run apps. If you need the latest and greatest thing, A, get a Nexus, or B, just hack your phone.
Plus, it's very clean. It's... Mm-hmm. Doesn't come with anything else, right? Yeah. So it's all up to you to put on there what you want, which is nice.
It really has become.
But at the same time, if you in doing that, you do lose some functionality. There's stuff in Sense and stuff in TouchWiz that is never going to come to iOSP.
Yeah, no, I think the camera apps are so much better on every other platform.
Yeah, definitely.
Every single other one.
And you have users like Jerry's wife who would use the new TouchWiz over any phone I have here. To her, really? It's the best. Yep.
Sure, why not?
She said, I don't even have to go to the market. She still calls it the market. She says, my Facebook, everything I want, this phone already does it.
And that's why, when people say, why did carriers screw it up? That's why. It's exactly why. It's a better out-of-box experience. We are not normal users. Period. Question
mark. I think TouchWiz I could deal with. It's the buttons that I'm having a hard time getting used to. Mm-hmm.
The buttons, I think, is something you get used to. It's they've done that on all their European phones, which I think is why I'm probably just not really caring about that.
We should have little
characters. I'm not saying anything.
We should have little characters drawn up. What kind are you? Are you the smart and sassy smartphone user who blah 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 blah?
Do it.
I got ideas.
Ooh.
All right, let's do some emails and voicemails, and we'll call this one a podcast. Do you want to do the one voicemail or the one email first before we launch into voicemails? I'll even try to read it.
Works for me.
Because I just want to use the name. The Shankopotamus writes, I'm currently torn between the Galaxy S3 and the newly announced HTC Evo 4G LTE in white. I prefer Sense over TouchWiz, the Evo screen over the AMOLED screen on the Galaxy S3, and certainly prefer the HTC button layout over the menu button on the S3. All that said, I keep coming back to the extra gigabyte of RAM on the Galaxy S3. I was hoping Jerry or any of you can help break down exactly how much of a real-world advantage that extra gig of RAM will be. Is it really that big a deal?
Yes. If all you care,
I'm definitely seeing it.
If all you care about is RAM, if that's your only complaint with the Evo, I would say just buy an Evo.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us had used an Evo for a long time, and we're perfectly happy with a long time, a couple months.
Yeah,
perfectly happy.
But the Evo has that kind of the Evo's great, but it has that sort of rubber banding. It's a noticeable kind of lag when you go from screen to screen, and maybe that's part of this offer. Maybe it's supposed to be that way. But I think you're on high. The S3, I pick it up and I flick between the screens and it just goes. It's super
fast. That's not the RAM, is it? That's going to be software. Because
the 1X I have here is faster than the S3 through the home screens at a cost of multitasking.
Yeah, there's that as well.
And as far as the real world benefits, you know, we have talked to, and I say we, me and a couple of the other writers, we've tried to talk to the people at ARM. We've tried to talk to the people at Qualcomm, the people at HTC, the people at Samsung, anybody that we could think of to ask, what's the purpose? Why did you decide to go with 2 gigs of RAM? And you can imagine the answers that we've got is that, you know, we try to make the best phones that we can for the consumers, and the Galaxy S3 has the, you know, the sounds of nature and how lovely it is, but no answers to our questions.
Is it cheaper to do it at some point? I think maybe it was a manufacturing thing.
I don't know. I mean, maybe 4.2 will need 2 gigs of RAM, and they're doing it to stay ahead of the curve. I don't know.
Well, the interesting thing with the S3 is that the Korean version now has 2 gigs of RAM and a quad core Exynos thing in it, and that's LTE as well. So could it be to do with the LTE radio just pushes it over that limit where you need that extra bit of memory, and it's just LTE.
If Android's managing your memory, I mean, if you have more, you're not going to be closing things as often, right? I mean, you have more memory available.
But that's not it, in theory. But on the Galaxy S3, I've sit here and watched it and played with it. It just has 500 megabytes of RAM doing nothing. Free RAM is wasted RAM in a Linux system. It's overkill.
But it's available.
So it's available. What good does available RAM do?
You can open up RAMs and not have them closing. You're not going to have other ones closing.
But then you're using
them. It's closing them anyway and just freeing up free RAM.
That's like saying, I have 5 cars, I only use one. You've got them, but you're never going to use them. Then what the hell?
So I'm not sure.
So you're saying it never has less than 500 free?
I've never seen it, you know, and I'll say 500. Don't quote me, maybe 495. Mm-hmm. Right around 500 to 600 RAM free at all times.
Well, and I don't get the car. Like, what if you open up what if you're playing a game and it consumes a lot of memory?
It closes something that's already open and still leaves you with 500 gigs of RAM.
And it shouldn't do that.
Megs of RAM.
Yeah, that sounds like something that's not quite working.
Yeah, it sounds like bad memory management.
Yeah.
Well, it's probably just using fairly standard memory management and just has a whole bunch of extra RAM in there. They're going to do something with it. The common internet wisdom of why they were doing it was because of they need more RAM for the GPU and the Snapdragon and more RAM for the LTE radio.
We looked at that and it was probably not why they did it.
We're talking, you know, a few megabytes difference. That's it. It's not a big deal. So I don't know. You know, I just don't know why they did it. Maybe they need it to make TouchWiz run as well as it does. Maybe it's some sort of pre-caching buffer or I don't know.
Samsung's still messing around with memory management on the international one. So this international S3 got an OTA recently that eliminates a lot of the issues that some people were having with the launcher being dumped out of memory. So they're obviously changing things in OTAs, and what you get out the door isn't necessarily perfect in every way.
And okay, Brad in the chat room put it perfectly. Sometimes his Verizon Galaxy S3 is using 1.5 gigs of that RAM. Yep, that means 500 megs are free. There's two ways to look at it. If it only had 1 gig, it couldn't use 1.5, but it's still so much free RAM, it's not using it all.
Mm. People are used to Windows and having 8 gigs of RAM and using 512 megs of it.
Right, and that's not how Android works.
Yeah.
Free RAM is bad.
Bad?
Yes.
Yes. Free RAM is not being used.
You need some free RAM to have stuff starting up and not having to use virtual memory or whatever. I know Android doesn't do that.
A little bit, but if you've got, you know, a third of your RAM sitting there free, it's not helping anything. Yeah. So As to real world benefits, I don't know. It doesn't do anything bad. I can tell you that the S3 is still pretty fast.
So, I mean, getting back to this guy's question, which phone should you buy after all that?
At that point, it's which one feels better, I think. Which one do you, yep. which mm-hmm. OS, which UI do you enjoy more?
From what he's saying, it sounds like he likes the Evo more, and that if it's just a technical thing with the S3 having more RAM, I think he should probably go for the Evo.
Yeah. All right, let's do some voicemails, shall we? How about we start with Kurt?
Hi, this is Kurt again from Detroit, Michigan area. Hey, I recently upgraded to the Galaxy S3. Very excited to have it. Also moved over to Big Red, which I'm learning a lot of people don't really call it Big Red anymore. The Verizon wireless network. I moved over from Sprint after 11 years. That's a whole nother voicemail. But my question is, as I moved over, I backed up a bunch of my apps that had the ability to do so to the SD card. And when I tried to restore the backup on the new phone, I learned that there's some differentiation now between the SD card and the external SD card. And I thought I was pretty smart with tech stuff, but I'm finding this to be a little bit surprising and confusing that they're using the term SD card to actually refer to part of the internal memory. So I found out that it was saving my backup to what it's calling the SD card, but it's not my external SD card, which does me absolutely no good when I take the card into a new phone. Thanks. Appreciate it. And love for you to answer my question. Thanks so much.
This is why Google doesn't want you using USB mass storage or SD cards.
Right. Originally, when Android was first popularized back 1.5 days, every phone had an SD card, and it was mounted. The mount point was named SD card.
Yep.
If you can go to Wikipedia and look up Unix mount points, and that'll explain a little bit more to you. Games, apps, they're developed to look for your storage along a certain path in the file system, and that path is SD card. So Android now, Android phones that are made by Google don't have SD cards. And the system itself, the external storage that's available to the user to play with, is mounted in the path SD card, so all the old apps can find their data, know where to write it, know where to read it. Depending on the manufacturer, your SD card may be things like SD-EXT or SD card / EXT - SD card. They have to make their own mount point. And if you use a file manager, you should be able to see what it's named.
That's why.
And yeah, and
no SD card ever.
Well, and that's part of the reason why they don't want an SD card in Android, because that clunky answer is something that normal users aren't going to want to fool with.
Mm. So to most people, an SD card is an SD card, not a mount point.
Right. They don't realize, they don't understand mount points, file managers, yep.
It makes sense. It's like plugging in a hard drive anywhere.
Yep.
I mean, I didn't think it was that confusing. All right, let's do the next one. We got John Paul again.
Hi, this is John Paul, calling for the Android Central Podcast. I have a question about my Sprint Galaxy Nexus, which I feel like is the red-headed stepchild of Nexi. Everybody talks about the DSM and the Verizon, but no one seems to remember the Sprint version. But that's not the point. Anyway, I saw recently that John Baptiste-Giro of Google posted that the Toro Plus, the Sprint version, won't be supported as an ASLP device. And I've seen several forum posts and articles complaining about that. Does that mean that the Sprint version won't get a Jelly Bean update, or does that just mean things are the same as they have always been and you just can't build it from ASLP source due to the proprietary CDMA stuff. I guess also a second part, I guess the Verizon version sounds like will be supported as an ASOP device. Does that mean you will be able to build it from source? And how have they gotten past the CDMA hurdle? Anyway, I appreciate the feedback. Thank you guys as always.
Look, let's be completely honest here. Can we? Come in close here. let me just break it to you gently. You got a lame Nexus. You got the wrong one. Just, you suck.
If I could reach you, well, I would smack the shit out of you. The heck out of you.
No. The Sprint Galaxy Nexus is just fine. It just, we talked about it earlier. It just has these licensing hurdles that have to be overcome before it can be folded back into the OSP. And because of that, you're going to get updates probably a little slower.
The word is not can't. It's not that you can't build AOSP for the Sprint Galaxy Nexus.
Right.
It's that the people at Google can't redistribute the files that are already on your phone that a private developer can build AOSP and suck them out of his phone and inject them into his ROM.
Right.
99% of the software between the GSM version and the Verizon version and the Sprint version is identical.
No, you've got a perfectly fine Nexus there. It's just a little different. Don't feel bad about it.
It won't take developers very long. Anytime you see an update to the AOSP source, you'll get it too. It might take an extra day.
And if you're not happy doing that, you will still get the official update.
Yep.
Right. When Sprint says it's ready, you'll get it right from Google.
Yeah. All right, finally, from last week, although it's a new voicemail, Fernando's back.
I'm calling for the Android Central podcast. My name is Fernando again. I'm sorry, I've been calling so many times. Relating to the bans going on with the ban, with Apple suing Google and all that, and I think Google modifying its software on the Nexus, Galaxy Nexus. And I read an article recently about it that it kind of crippling the software, you know, taking out features so they could, they could allow phone back in the store. Let me ask you something. If you ruin your phone, will you get all the features back from the, all the features back that they took out? And also, I wanted to ask you, if that happens too many times, if it's going to take a lot of people to root their phones and just, hack the phone and put custom ROM on their phones? I wanted to ask you those questions. All right. Thanks a lot, man.
Well, I think we answered this before, didn't we? It's the OTA that's gone out now still has all that stuff in it. If it's taken out, eventually you just flash the international system image over the top of what you've got.
I promise you, if you've got a rooted Galaxy Nexus, they'll find ways you can have it back.
You won't even need to root. You just need to unlock your bootloader and flash a different image over the top of it.
I highly recommend if you have something that's not attacked you and you can flash. No. Yeah. Damn these names. If you have something that's not attacked you, if you got a GSM one that's one of these other regionalized versions, take half a day, right? Back up all your stuff. Take half a day, flash tacked you, and just you'll be much happier for it later because you will be on the official, the official build, and you won't have to worry about this stuff anymore. I've done that several times now.
Say it one more time. Don't do that with a Verizon or a Sprint one.
Right, GSM only. Only. Verizon, Sprint, you're lesser neck. No, you're not lesser. You're just different. We love you too. And that's it, I think. I think we're done.
That sounds like it's it.
Survived another week. Hey, I've still got the what is this thing called? Droid Incredible 4G LTE review coming, I promise. It's halfway done. I almost threatened to finish it this week. It's a nice phone. They're going to sell a lot. Spend an extra $50 and get the Galaxy S3. I'm not sorry. Do that. Corey, it's like 2 in the afternoon there. You've got your cider already? Really?
Oh, this is a different kind.
Oh, okay.
That's non-alcoholic.
That's okay. Yeah, it is. It's the 2 o'clock cider.
Nice. All right, so that's it. If you want to leave us an email, like Shankopotamus did. Do it at podcast@androidcentral.com. And you can get us all on Twitter at Android Central. I'm at Phil Nickinson. Jerry is at GBHIL. Corey is at C Streeter. Alex is at Alex Dobie. Mickey Papillon, who couldn't be here today because dude's working because we went early, at TCPJ_Mickey. Get us all on Google Plus, as you well should as well. Just search our names. It's the easiest way to do it. As we are every week, we are brought to you by ShopAndroid.com. You can call 888-468-6158 for all of your Android shopping needs. And again, a whole bunch of Galaxy S3 stuff dropping in. And speaking of the Galaxy S3, we've got a promo sitting in the sidebar. There's a blog post up as well, and you should see something at the top of the page, maybe. So ShopAndroid.com is working with Best Buy Mobile Solutions and have just a really good deal on the Galaxy S3 on Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile right now. So go check that out if you haven't already. Really, really good stuff. And in fact, there are some other deals involved there as well. So you can save yourself a chunk of cash if you do that. And, you know, put food on my table, which is always a good thing to, you know, I mean, support the site. So that is another option to go if you're in the market for a new phone. And you can leave us a voicemail like Kurt and Jean-Paul and Fernando did at that same number, 888-468-6158, extension 222. That's it for episode 102. Not bad, considering I'm on my deathbed here. I think I've got typhoid. Tuberculosis.
Oh, God, really?
Not really. I'll be okay. I'll make it. So, exciting times. Really, really good week. I'm excited. Can't wait to get back to next week. Jerry, Alex, Corey, thank you guys. Chat room, thank you guys. I'm giving you a little one-handed wave. Clap. See y'all next week.
See you on, everybody.
Dog, seriously, dog.
What kind
of
dog?
He's like a 75-pound foxhound. You see my dog?
75 pounds?
Oh yeah, dude's huge.
Wow.
Yeah, he'll run you over too.
Phil rides.
I do.
He's got a little saddle.
I have a saddle. Every now and then, I put a little unicorn horn on him.
Is it a side saddle or a full saddle?
No. He's big enough that I got to have the proper. But no, I'll ride him down the street with a little unicorn horn and just scare the crap out of the neighbors. It's great. Yeah!